the way it used to be.
Free.
Free.
Deliver.
Amen. We bless the Lord. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. We honor the Lord. We bless the Lord and thank God for my wife. Amen. And for blessing her with health and strength. Amen. In spite of it. God is still good. And we thank him for that. And we thank God for all of the ministers, the elders, the deacons, and their respective places, and the musicians, the usher, everyone that has a work, a part of the work of God, we bless you. Even if you just clean the bathroom, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
Because it takes the sum of the parts to make the whole. So it takes all of us doing a little to make the church work complete. Can we all say praise the Lord? Amen. We're so glad in the house of God there's something for everybody to do. Amen. You know, sometimes some people say, well, I'm a little sick. I got pain in my body, and so I can't do the work. How about if you just pick up somebody and say, God bless you, and you have a blessed day. You know, sometimes we look at God, and we always think of the great and the big things. Well, how many know God can get honored a lot of times in little things? Can we say praise the Lord? So it doesn't always have to be anything great for God to get the honor, but it can be something ever so small for God to get honor. Amen? So we just can't find something to do. We have that challenge up on the board. It's the do something challenge. There is something for everybody to do. Now, there are a whole lot of people that love to preach. There are a whole lot of people that love to testify. But how many know, in order for you to run a church, it takes everybody to do something. That's why we bless the Lord for all the folks that showed up yesterday. Amen. We had some warriors that got a little bruised and beat up. Amen. And then we had somebody that tried to keep up with me. I came into church, all of a sudden I see James Jordan walking in church right behind me a couple minutes later. I thought, wait a minute. When I left the house, I didn't see him moving. You know, but we bless the Lord because, you know, he's new, him and his family. They're part of the church, but they're new to the area. And he mowed all those yards, all the yards. Sit around and like talk a little bit. He's like, where's the lawnmower? I mean, he said in his Liberian language, it's a little different. But you know, the thing is this, you know, I thought he was gonna take a break. He mowed all the yard. So I said, yeah, I said, you know what, you did good, but you forgot one part over on the side. I said, nope, I did that too. I said, then I got the weed whacker, clean all the weeds. Amen. So listen, we all did something. All right, I'm gonna say he came with me. And stayed as long as I stayed. Amen. And they call me sometimes a little taskmaster. I'm not a taskmaster, but I honor the Lord. I appreciate God for giving me life, health, and strength. Amen. So how do you show God how you honor him? Now, all of us can preach, you can sing, you can play music. But how many will get their hands dirty for the work of God? Right? It takes that to make it complete. All right, I'll finish there. That y'all be good. But James, you tried to keep up. We did good. Amen. Then I was shocked. I thought he was going to take a break. Then he went out there with Elder Gibbs and who was that? Minister Simon, Robert, and Elder Tensley, and Elder Tensley, I mean, Robert's wife, and started dragging trees from the back of the yard out to the front. I said, wow, he learned something somewhere. Or either Brooke Gretner, right? Well, I want to tell you what he said, but this is that's a family inside private joke. What Brooke told us, he said, like, the reason he's doing so much. Well, we'll keep that between family, man. So let us stand for our scripture reading, which we're coming from Mark chapter 10. How many know it's such a good thing to be in the house of God? Amen. To be in his presence, because the scripture in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his
right hand.
I'm so glad he can go to the left. At his right hand there are pleasures evermore. Amen. And the scripture says the Lord is that Spirit. Who's that Spirit?
The Lord.
The Lord is, sometimes you get confused. How do you call Jesus God? Who's the Lord?
Jesus.
Y'all talk to me. Who's the Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Lord, right? And the scripture says the Lord is that. Right, I'm gonna do, you know, in college, they taught us logic and reasoning. Did anybody take logic and reasoning in college? I stayed in until they start picking on apostolics and Pentecostals. I said, I don't want to be in here no more. Well, in logic and reasoning, it said A equal B, right? And if B equal C, then A equals C. Right? So this is logic and reasoning. Right. Every once in a while, you got to draw back on your college days when you get above 30 so you don't forget. All right. So if the Lord is that spirit, and Jesus is the Lord, and God is that spirit, because God is a
spirit.
So if the Lord is that spirit, the Lord is Jesus, and God is that spirit, then Jesus is. Thank you. That's logic and reason. You don't got to figure out nothing else. Just let what we learn teach us. Because how many spirits are there?
One spirit.
There's only one spirit. So if the Lord is that spirit and God is that spirit, we know there ain't two gods. Because the scripture says there's only one God and the devil fear him and tremble. All right, let's get to the scripture. I just figured we'd do a little educational part first. Right? A, B, and all that. But let's go. Amen. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 20. We're going to read from verses 20, and we will conclude by reading verse 28 together. Amen? If you have your Bibles, can we say amen? And if you don't have your Bible, it's where? On the screen. Verse 20 reads, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing
thou
lackest. Once again, how many?
One
thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and so he said, get rid of that one thing. Amen. After you get rid of it, then I want you to take up the cross and what?
Follow me.
And he was
sad
and then sin and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus, looking round about, said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said unto him, children, how hard it is for them that trust. It is all right to have riches, but you can't trust in riches more than you trust in God. Trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, who then? If I got to do all that to be saved, he said, who then? If I got to give up everything to be saved, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and let us pray. Lord, we thank you on this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that we are not selfish. And Lord, we thank you that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit will say to the church. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for a spirit of obedience to react and respond to thy word. Now, Lord, we ask you to send the word on this afternoon. For your word says he sent his word to heal them. Lord, send your word to heal, to deliver, and to set free. Lord, draw somebody this afternoon so they may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we ask you to move. And for this, we thank you, can the church say, name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm so glad that I have an ear to hear from God. You know, the one prayer that we should all pray today, in this last day, evil days we living in, when Samuel heard the Lord calling him, he didn't understand it. The man of God told Samuel to go back and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy." Today we should say, "Lord, speak." And Lord, as you speak, give me an ear to hear what the, I don't need to hear what the pastor has to say. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of pastors. Well, how many know if you hear what the Spirit? How many spirits?
What?
Give me an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And if you read Revelation 2 through Revelation 3, after the Lord finished addressing every church age, he said, "You got to go your own coming for him and ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church." So today we're all trying to overcome some things or something. But how many of us are listening to what the Spirit says to the church? And you know, sometimes when the Spirit speaks, because God is infinite in wisdom, because God is omniscient, and the scripture says only God knows the end from the beginning. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Anybody want to serve that kind of God? A God that knows the end from the beginning. And from ancient time, the Bible said, "The things that are not yet." When you know God, God will reveal to you some things that are not yet done. He said, "My counsel shall." That's the kind of God I like to know. And in knowing that God, because he's omniscient and all-knowing, I just want to take time not to listen to all the voices, but I want to hear directly from God. Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant." Anybody want the Lord to speak to you today? If you want God to speak, just acknowledge him with a little wave offering. Lord, speak to me this afternoon, for your servant is listening. Lord, there's some needs in my life. I just can't seem to put a handle on it, and I can't figure it out. But I know if you speak, hallelujah, I heard somebody say, when the Lord begins to move in your life, then at the end, everything is going to be all right. Can we say praise the Lord? If we ever needed the Lord to speak today, if we ever need the Lord to speak, today is the day and hour that we need God to speak to us. There's so many voices out there. There's so many people proclaiming so many different things. Do you ever get confused when you listen to stuff and you hear stuff and then you listen to news report, you listen to one station, they say something. You listen to another station, they say something else. And you try to figure out, well, where is the truth? How many know God knows the truth? God knows the truth. And the scripture says concerning God, I know I'm going to get to the message, but I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. The scripture says that God will not mock, be mocked, and that God won't mock prayer. So if you sincerely ask God for anything, the word of God says that God will answer that if you ask him sincerely. The scripture says, in the day that you seek after me with all of your heart, all your heart, then shall you. Some people are seeking God, but they're sort of like this good man, like this young man that came to Jesus. They're only seeking him with a part of their heart. But the scripture says, in the day that you search after me with all your heart, then shall you find me. And I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, I've been looking for God. God ain't in my vicinity. I can't find God. How are you seeking him? Because how do you know that God cannot lie, and God will not lie, and God, his Bible says, it's impossible for God to tell a lie. You ever read it in the scripture? It's impossible for God to tell. Hebrews 6:18 says God will not lie. And not only will God not lie, God will change his mind. So we say, I'm seeking God, but I just can't find him. I'm in a dilemma, I'm in a crisis situation, and I've been praying, but I just can't find God. The Bible says God answers every prayer if you're righteous. The problem that we have is we don't always like what he says. God answers every prayer. Every time you open your mouth, because the Bible says his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So every time you pray, God hears your prayer. And I heard it say in Isaiah the 66th chapter, before you even pray, God said, I sent you an answer. Because I'm God. And I know what things you have need of before you ask. Well, this young man came to the Lord. And I'm going to fill in the verses before. He said, good master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Anybody want eternal life? I know I want to live and be with God forever. I heard the scripture say, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why I want to be ever with the Lord. The young man said, Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him a couple of rebukes, but he said that follow or keep the commandments. And the young man says, like a lot of us, he said, okay, I've been doing that all my life. Right? I've been doing everything God asked me all my life. But there was something about the way Jesus answered that young man. The young man said, well, there must be something I didn't do. Right? So the young man said, well, I heard what you said, but what's that?
One
thing. Can y'all put one thing?
One thing.
It don't take more. One thing.
One thing.
He said, what's the one thing that I'm lacking? Amen. In verse 21 says, Jesus, behold him, loved him, and said unto him. Jesus sent him. He was trying to lead him in the what? Right direction. So the scripture said, Jesus what? Loved him. So because he loved him, he's going to tell them something to help himself. Jesus loved him and said unto him, one thing. How many?
One.
If I want to search my life, you know, because how many of you know, I've heard people say it for years. They say, you know what? I'll take everything, but if you do this one thing, that's going to be it. Every time you put that challenge up, guess what? The devil makes sure that one thing happens. I've heard it for years. They say, I'll do everything, but if this happens, that's that one thing that you don't want to let go of. So my question today and our message is, what's that?
One thing.
Just one thing. You've been keeping all the commandments. You've been praying. You've been reading. Amen. You've been faithful to God. You sing. You give your testimony. But what's that?
One thing.
What's the one thing that you don't want to let go of? Amen. Jesus said, one thing lacketh thou. He said, go thy way and get rid of that. Just one thing. A lot of times when it comes to church, we say, I do everything right. What's going wrong? But if you make a personal assessment of your spiritual life, have you really given everything to God? Have you given him your all? Amen. He said, one thing lacketh thou. Go get rid of that one thing. He said, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have
treasures
in heaven, and come pick up thy cross and
follow me.
Now, that one thing, I don't care what it is, that one thing won't let you follow Jesus all the way. That one thing will let you follow Jesus so far. But how many know the devil is a master deceiver? And in being the master deceiver, he knows that one thing that gets to your, you know how you hit the nerve? That one nerve. That one nerve. The devil knows, if I hit that one nerve, you gone for a long time. It's going to be hard for you to pray like you ought to pray. It's going to be hard for you to read your Bible like you ought to read your Bible. It's going to be even hard for you to get up in the morning and come to church because of that. It's not a lot. It's only one thing. Amen. That's why the Bible said, it's not the big fox that spoils the vine, but it's the what? The little, the small fox. It's what spoils the vine. And the reason he explained it this way is, when you see the big fox coming, you know, say, oh, I got to be on guard. But the small fox, you don't see him coming. So he's able to go under the fence and cause havoc and destruction in your vineyard. So that's why the proverb said, it's a small fox that spoils the vine. There is a small fox in some of our lives that has been spoiling our minds. Amen, because we won't get rid of that. The one thing. So the Lord goes on to say, and he was sad, and that said, verse 22, and went away and grieved, for he had. You know, the question I'm going to ask you, is there anything that you will not give up for God? Is there anything? There's something to think about that you won't give up for God. Now, I've been saved for a long time, and I've learned through the years there's some things that I've held on to I need to give up. Amen. Especially when you have a place of comfort, right? When you're in a comfortable place, that comfortable place can mess you up. Because God is trying to move you to a spiritual level, but you can't get there because you're comfortable with that. And one thing. Hallelujah. 20, 30 years ago, 20-something years ago, the Lord spoke to me, but I was comfortable where I was at. And God was trying to move me to another spiritual height. But I couldn't move to that height because I couldn't let go of them. The one thing. That one thing, I was just too comfortable. Hallelujah. So you know what God does? You know, a lot of times we think trouble comes to overthrow us. God said, I got to allow you to have this trouble. Because when you get this trouble, then you will see me. Because as long as you're comfortable, you won't look for me. God says, I'm going to send you this trouble. And in this trouble, I'm not trying to overthrow you, but I'm trying to get you a place where you will seek me with all of your heart. Because you've been following me, but you haven't been doing it with your whole heart. You've been leading and saying and giving testimonies, but it hasn't been with your whole heart. So God said, I'm going to allow some trouble to come. I don't know when you get trouble a lot of times, oh, God is mad at me. Right? Can we just be for real? When things don't go right, you say, God, what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. God is trying to move you to another spiritual level, but you can't get there because you got too comfortable with that. That one thing. That one thing that you refuse to let go of. You say, well, I don't have no one thing. Yes, you do. I'm going to tell you, this is how you can identify your one thing. Because when that one thing happens, it throws you into a spiritual tailwind. Tailspin. It's like a whirlwind. When this one thing happens, you lose all spiritual direction. You lose all comfort and trust in God. When somebody said, well, I can do all right. But man, when this one thing happens, I just can't get it together. I can't pray like I ought to pray. Sometimes when this one thing happens, I'm not physically sick. But I'm mentally sick. Because when this one thing happens, I can't deal with it. It's hard for me to push myself beyond that dealing with that situation. So this one thing keeps me bound. I was doing all right, and out of nowhere. How many? Can y'all leave me alone? Just one thing. And I'm going to ask you this afternoon, what's that one thing that has stopped you from completely following God? Amen. That one thing, the devil knows it. And they say, you're doing too good right now. Look at somebody and say, you're doing too good. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're just doing way too good. So the devil says, I'm going to have to see you.
One thing.
One thing. Yes, he will. That one thing. He said, I was so happy. I got home and got a phone call. That was I was all right. I could have did all right if I didn't get that. It happens to all of us. And then when that one thing happened, we've prayed in church, we've shouted, we've had a good time, and then we can't even hardly get up. And look like somebody has knocked you over and ran you over. What happened? Nothing. physically. But it was that
one thing.
The one thing, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says about the devil, he's wiser than Daniel. And there's no secret that can be withholden from him. So the devil knows what makes you tick. The devil knows what will take you from a spiritual high to a spiritual low. And it only takes
one thing.
And then when it happens, and you get on the phone and you call this, and you call him and you say, I just never expected this. You know, I'm gonna deal with anything, but this is something it's just hard for me to, y'all up there? Oh, y'all talk to me, y'all. Y'all know that happens. Because that's that.
One thing.
Well, this young ruler, they came to Jesus. He said, I've done everything else. But what?
One thing.
You know, it's like, let's use children, because we use children, they ain't so personal.
Okay.
And I grew up me and my brother got along real good. But I was always about 5 foot. I'm just going to tell you the one thing that hurt my brother with me. We grew up, I was always like 5 foot, 10, 11, about 185 pounds. My brother Joe, before he got older, he was always a lot smaller. But my brother Joe used to buy all these designer clothes. Well, I was too cheap. I wasn't buying no clothes. You know, I get my shirts tailor made. I said, I ain't getting shirts tailor made. It costs too much money. I mean, this is back in the 70s. They were paying like $40 and $50 to get a shirt made. We could buy a shirt already made for $13. So the one thing that used to hurt my brother Joe, if after he get his tailor-made shirts made, I go put it on. My brother went to my mother. She said, he said, will you please tell him to stop wearing my clothes? When I put his clothes on, I look like the Incredible Hulk. Couldn't move, couldn't do anything because the clothes were too small. So that was the one thing that me and my brother had battles over it. You know, and then I was working on this job, and I wore a size 11, and my brother wore a size 9.5. Only know I did it. But the boss told me at the job, he said, if you come with them sneakers on again, you fired. I needed a job, but I ain't gonna go spend money for shoes. So my brother Joe had a real pair of nice steel-toed shoes. 9.5. So I left in the morning before he woke up. So I told my brothers, I don't know how I squeezed in the 9.5. I was walking like this, but I was in. My brother went to my mother. She said, how many times I have to ask you to stop having my brother squeeze into my clothes? Right? That was the one thing that caused me and my brother to have a whole lot of battles. But all I have to do is stop being so cheap. I'm so glad I ain't cheap no more. I ain't cheap no more. And when I see them, I'm no clothes. I certainly don't. That's one thing. But what I'm saying, there's always one thing that the devil will use to cause confusion in our lives. This young ruler couldn't give up one thing. So the Lord says in verse 23 again, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that the problem with the one thing is you trust in that one thing more than you trust in God. So you're trying to get to God, and then me trying to get to God and be pleasing to God, everything is going on so well. to that one thing that I trusted too much messed me up. He said, well, how do you know I trusted that one thing too much? Because when it happened, you forget about God. Yes. When that one thing happens, you forget about God. Right? So Jesus said, you're trusting in your, it's all right to have riches. He said, but the problem with the, how many things?
One thing.
You know what? One thing. So one thing. That one thing that you won't let go of, you trust in it. You cherish it. You put that one thing before God. Right? So the young ruler couldn't get rid of that. He couldn't get rid of the riches. He trusted in his riches. Amen? Verse 26, we know it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, verse 26 says, and they were astonished above measure. They said, if it, you know, sometimes we look at somebody and say, man, they look like they got it all together. But we don't know in their life what is that? That one thing that's keeping them from giving full devotion, for fully falling after God. And we look at them, we say, it looked like they got it all together. When the disciples of the apostles looked at this young rich ruler, they said, if he got it all together, who then? I'm so glad when it comes to salvation, that it's not dependent on what man can be. But salvation is dependent on God. Now, years ago, I was trying to figure out where. Years ago, somebody said, well, you ain't saved anyway. I'm so glad that God didn't listen to that for me. I'm so glad, hallelujah, that my salvation wasn't based on a man, but it was based on God. And Jesus, looking, verse 27, upon them said, what man it is, don't let your salvation be dependent on a man. But let it be dependent. Don't let your salvation be dependent on your husband or wife. But let it be dependent upon. Don't let your salvation be dependent on your mother or father. But let it be dependent upon. Don't even let it be dependent upon your best friend. But let it be upon God. Say, with men it is impossible, but with
God.
But with
God.
For with God. So I don't have to go by what it looks like with God. I don't have to try to figure out what's that one thing that's holding you back. I just stay in God. Amen?
Amen?
Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, he said, we have. Now we're talking about how many things?
One thing.
Peter said, Lord, we left. Can you honestly say this afternoon? I have left. Can you say I left off? Or is there still one thing that's preventing you from fully? Can we say fully?
Fully.
You know, sometimes when we follow God, you know, if you're following someone, anybody ever go on a trip driving a car and you following someone? As long as you stay close, y'all with me? As long as you follow somebody, you stay close. But if you get too far back, other people get in between you, you get. So a lot of us are following God. But we've done some things get between us. So God went right, and you went left. Because you're not following God fully. And you keep letting little things get in the way of you fully.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, y'all with me?
Yes.
Matter of fact, my brother told a story. He was going to a funeral. I'm just saying, what happened when you don't fully follow? He was in a funeral down in New York City. I guess in New York City, they do like four or five funerals at the same time. And all the cars were the same color. And so he got mixed up in the cars. True story. When they got to the cemetery, some corn and get it in the rain. He was at the wrong. In the wrong place today spiritually. I'm just, I gotta make it funny. I make it funny. I even get the young people there. I like that. But I'm sitting on the serious side. How many of us in the wrong place because we've allowed too many people, too many things to get between us and following? Then when you arrive at the place that you thought you would be at, and then you get out, you say, spiritually, I'm in the
wrong place.
Lord, when I look at my life, I thought by now spiritually I'd be doing better. How in the world was I following you, Lord, but I wind up in the
wrong place?
That's because God was saying, go right. But the people were telling you go. God said stop, but the people said, right? God said go, but the people said, y'all with me, right? That's what happened. God said go, but the husband said, God said go, but the wife said, then when the one thing gets you all messed up. You get mad at God because you say, Lord, I've been following you. But we keep allowing things. It don't take a lot. It only takes to get in the way. And then when our whole spiritual life is running amok, when we don't have the peace that we ought to have, because this is what God's word says in Isaiah the 26th chapter. The scripture says that God will keep you in if you keep your mind. But when you have that one thing, your mind begins to travel. Your mind begins to wander. And you take your mind off of that. And then it's telling you have perfect peace. You have perfect confusion. But I heard Paul say that our God is not the author. The scripture says, be careful about nothing, but in everything we ought to give thanks. It says, in everything with thanksgiving and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And when I come to God, I ought to come to Him, then God will give me perfect peace. Yes, Lord. I'm so tired of being confused. I'm so tired of being Jesus. Somebody say, how far? Lord, I'll follow you all the way. we all sin. We're living in terrible times. Too many things, as the elders and the ministers come forward. Too many things are getting between us and the Savior. Jesus told the young man one thing. And the question I want you to consider this afternoon is, what is the one thing that the adversary has been so manipulative and using against you to get you to stop following God all the way? My heart is fixed. My mind made up. I decided to follow Jesus. But how far are you going to follow? How far are you going to follow?
All the way.
The devil's never convinced that we're going to follow Jesus. So he just keeps sending stuff our way to get us off our minds off of Jesus. I heard Paul tell the church of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Sometimes you say, well, all I keep hearing this is Jesus stuff. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Well, you know why you look unto Jesus? Because he is the author and finisher of your I said, my faith is getting weak. You have stopped looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep following God. Don't allow the one thing to happen to you. You'll be all right out of the gate.